You're listening to The Warehouse, a Speaking Of show by WFSU. This week, Tom is about town, and he is on location talking with a Leon County school administrator and two officials from the Holocaust Education Resource Council, who were part of a group of 11 that traveled up to Washington, D.C. to visit the National Museum of African American History and Culture and the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. The goal of the trip was to bring the lessons learned at these museums back to Leon County students and the community in general. This interview was recorded on site.
From June 2nd through the 4th, a group of 11 administrators from Leon County Schools in Tallahassee, Florida, traveled to Washington, D.C. Now, this was no casual sightseeing trek. They were there to visit the National Museum of African American History and Culture and the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. The purpose? To bring the lessons of those two institutions back to Leon County to be shared with not only students, but also the community at large. One of those educators was Michelle Gale, Deputy Superintendent of Schools for Leon County. On Wednesday, June 18th, I met with her, along with Barbara Goldstein, Executive Director of the Holocaust Education Resource Council, and the organization's Education Director, Lauren Crampton, to find out what they learned on the trip.
A trip to D.C. A lot of folks go to Washington for all kinds of purposes, but let's start with you, Barbara. What kind of a trek was this that you and the principals recently did?
This was our second unique education experience, and it was eye-opening for everybody involved in attending. And we started at the African American History Museum and ended the trip at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, and just reflected on a lot of education and history and need to keep teaching everything.
That's from Herc's viewpoint, but from the viewpoint of Leon County Schools. Michelle, what was that all about? What was the actual purpose of having the principals go on this trip to see what was happening up there in this context?
So thank you for saying that. The purpose of this is to make sure that we're getting a hands-on bird's eye view, not just the literature, even though Hurt gave us a lot of literature to look into. It's state mandate that these things are taught, but bird's eye view of what's going on. And it's very important that it continues to be a part of the curriculum of Leon County Schools, our families, and our community.
How does this tie into the community, Lauren? What connections did you see in the course of the trip between the experiences that you folks had and what you could bring back to the larger community?
Well, I think it was all about connecting the dots and sort of taking a group of people that had a really diverse group of backgrounds and experiences, and then just having everybody bring their individual expertise to this subject. And some people were more familiar with certain aspects of this history than others, and then coming together and then recognizing, okay, well, what did we learn? What did we know? What did we learn on the other side of it? And then just how to reflect that as best as possible to give this global perspective to our local community and to the students.
There seems to be a connection, though, that I'm picking up on from all three of you that would tie all of this together, is that you always have, I guess it is our lizard brains at work, but you always have people who want to dominate other people for whatever reason, in whatever category it might be. And in terms of the Holocaust, in terms of the enslavement and the diaspora and all of these other things, it is something that just connects so many people with common cause, if I can use that phrase, Barbara.
Well, it's just how do we treat people, whoever we are, and learning to respect everybody and just human behavior. And this is what the experience in Washington led. It was not a fun trip at all. It really was very intense, and it was a learning experience that everybody's bringing back to their schools and their students. And they're very anxious to get to work on it. And Michelle can share more about possible plans, actually.
Yeah, curriculum and all of that. Yeah. Michelle, how does that work?
So we partner with her for forever and very thankful for that continued partnership. So the curriculum is there, making sure that it's being put into place at all of our schools, but then going beyond that. We're going to have, thanks to HERC and thanks to this trip, Holocaust survivors again talk to the students in our schools through Zoom using technology. But we wanted to, and we sort of did some processing right after. Mm-hmm. I mean, that Wednesday that we were coming back, we started the day with what did we see and what are we going to do? Okay, and we want to expand it to, Tom, I'm sure you remember the longest table. Years ago, we had the adult longest table, and you know that the student longest table, this will be the fourth year that we bought it back, Leon County Schools, for the community. But we want to bring back the adult longest table so that we can sit together and talk together. What Barbara said is so true. The whole human experience. We want to make sure that people are respecting each other, they're talking to each other, they see the commonalities, so that we don't make the same mistakes.
It sounds like you've got to come up with like a curriculum in, what, universal empathy or something? Man, that's a heavy lift.
Well, I mean, I think that's the temptation, is to try to flatten it into a universal empathy and morality. But we break it down into the individual choices and actions, because empathy is a vague concept. So I think for individuals, there are only empathetic and kind and compassionate words, actions, often self-sacrificial decisions, choices, and actions, and just trying to expose students to as many survivor stories as possible, to hear real-world examples of people that, you know, had to make self-sacrificing decisions or were the or the recipient of somebody else's sacrifice. So just looking at these individual stories, I think, is the answer to look and see yourself and reflect on your opportunities to make empathetic choices in your own life.
Barbara, that's back to the golden rule here.
Yeah. Well, Michelle is going to also confirm that it's, but the Holocaust Museum has a basic message that we're going to follow. That theme is like, what you do matters. Mm-hmm. And this is what Lauren is saying also. It's down to our personal choices, and what we do matters. And that's really the difference we can make now in our schools, in our community. And we want to take this to the parents, to the schools, and make a difference now. And that everything matters in their life, in our life.
Barbara, the main message that she just talked about, and I haven't taken this off since.
Today's the first day I didn't put it on. That's
what you do matters.
Yeah.
And talking to kids about that, because, I mean, when they truly understand that, you know, you think about a lot of things with curriculum. It's for the kids, but it also transpires to the adults in the home. You have kids saying, you know, Mom, our dad, don't say stuff like that. Let's not think things like that. Let's not do things like that, because what we do, it really does matter. And so starting with the Student District Advisory Council, working with them, so hopefully they can adopt, because I don't want to throw anything at them. Kids are, they have a lot of thoughts themselves, but a general umbrella of what you do matters. That is the message that we want our kids to take with them in everything that they do.
All right, so you're creating then a kind of a positive peer pressure through the kids on the council, and then it works its way down through their buds.
It's
okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I feel that they will self-adopt. You know, what you do matters,
right.
and there's some things that we've talked about that we want to do, simple things that will really make a difference. It's all in your message.
Well, speaking of messages there, you just referenced, for the benefit of folks who can't see it on the radio, and I understand how that is, you have a wristband that says, what you do matters. And where did that come from?
Wow. So we got this after
the Holocaust Museum.
It was from Palm Beach County. After we heard from, educators were talking.
Right.
Mary is one of them, and we have
Herschel.
Pictures of her, and Herschel as well.
Right.
And one of the things, when Mary was talking to us, that was actually at the hotel, mm-hmm. and I told Barbara I had some questions that I wanted to ask, but I was just captivated by what she had to say. I said, I'm not going to take it that way. I did ask her later, though, individually, if you could tell a message to this generation of kids? What would that message be? And it was, think about what you're doing to people. They are people just like you are. And it was almost just like the what you do matters. I spoke to another.
Remember the lady at the museum?
At the museum, Louise.
She, right.
She actually said, stand up against bullying. But don't stand up by yourself. Stand up with a group of people saying that we're not going to take this. Okay. There's a way that you can treat people, you know, with respect, with equity, with, you know, dignity, but we're not going to take this. We're not going to take the bullying.
There's power in numbers.
Yes. And that's what her, but think about this woman. She survived 80 years ago, most horrendous thing that could happen to people. And this is the positive message that comes out of her. That to me is so beautiful, actually, that she wants to keep teaching this message to people.
Yeah, because the, dare we say normal, but the more elemental response would be bitterness and vengefulness, mm-hmm. and all of this, because I was hurt and by gosh, I'm going to hurt somebody back. Right. And this stands that on its head.
Right. And they don't have that feeling at all.
No.
They want to make sure that this is a positive feeling that we are doing better today for our young people. And in fact, that's what the woman at the museum said, the survivor. She says, I'm going to keep doing this long until I can't do this any longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really important. We also have next year's trip is almost filled, actually.
Oh, wow.
So this is not a one-off. This is going to keep going.
Continue.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And
yeah, it's important.
It really is important that we not just go there and see things, but what will you do with that? How are we going to, mm-hmm. bring this back to our community to make our school community and our community as a whole better? Because that's the goal. We want to make sure that these tragedies, these atrocities, they never happen again.
Tangible, workable, incremental next step. Boy, a lot of big words there. So let's go in reverse order. Lauren, how do you see that playing out?
The next step?
Yeah.
I think the next step is just to have these personal conversations, I think, and just to continue sharing the message. And what Mary said, she's the survivor that we had the chance to speak to and meet and hear from. And she just said that, remember that you're always the other to somebody else. And it's about normalizing, helping, caring, and respecting others, even when it might come at your own expense. Know that, I mean, it's never lost, and that you can't have justice without peace, and you can't have peace without forgiveness. And that doesn't have to say that, oh, I agree with your actions, but it has to say that I don't hold any ill will to you as a person. I can disagree with this action and condemn this action, but you can still see somebody, even your enemy, even the person who's persecuting you, as still another person.
In the schools then, Michelle, you were talking about the revival of the grown-up longest table here, but what else do you see taking place?
Well, definitely the continuation of the high school longest table. Definitely working with counselors, social workers, administrators, talking about these experiences, because they get a lot of one-on-one time or small group time or different things like that with kids. And that's where the power, with everyone, but it sort of talks about what Lauren said, having those conversations with kids, because they're going to come to them with different experiences that they have gone through, and understanding that, yeah, we might be an other, but we need to learn to respect each other, embrace the differences, but then even with those differences, look for the similarities, because there are a lot of similarities, and it's really all about respect.
And we wrap it up back where we started with you, Barbara. So.
Okay, so my new word lately is accountability. We all have to be accountable for ourselves, and we can't account for anybody else, but we have to hope that with talking to adults, and I'm looking more at the parents, because parents are really what happens with their children, and they really, children still have to go back to their parents if they can, and the parents have to help talk to their children more, and that's where I'm looking to do.
Yeah, and out of the mouths of babes, it's amazing what impact kids can have on their parents.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
Okay. So I just met with Susan Harris, and she's a retired 8th grade teacher from Cobb. And I was telling her this story about going to Washington, and she said when she taught it every year in eighth grade, she was telling about the survivors and about Anne Frank. And she said one of the African-American students came to her, and they, she couldn't wait to go home and tell her mother. And her mother said, this is a story that I've never heard, and I'm so, and it's worse than slavery. When we have conversations, you're right, the children go home and they talk about it. I've had many stories where I've been to a classroom with a survivor, and the survivor goes, even last year we had Herschel spoke to 18 schools. And then I had an email the next day from a parent of Roberts Elementary School and said for 3 days my fifth grader did not stop talking about what he she heard in that on that from that survivor speaker. And the three things he said is love. Love your teachers, love your family, and love your...
Everyone.
Your, everyone, right. But we're going to do it again and have him speak because you have to hear from, as long as we can hear from the witnesses, yes. That's what we have to hear from.
And we're expanding it this year.
Right.
Remember we said that you're going to work on trying to get married for us maybe in January, you know, for to get a female perspective, to get a different perspective as well.
Right,
we
right,
think
right.
that that's really
yes.
important.
So
it's going to be great.
We have to, you know, every person we reach is important, and that's what our goal is. And we've been doing so much partnership with Leon County Schools, and we're going to keep doing more.
What's that old saying? The longest journey begins with a single step. Well, you guys already took the longest journey. Now we just have to go back and do the single steps, right?
We're doing
yes, yes. But the impact from this DC trip was just so amazing that it was beyond what I expected, actually. It's just, yeah. And actually, with the group just like blended and meshed, right?
Really did.
Yes, we
really
did. We learned a lot.
A conversation with Barbara Goldstein and Lauren Crampton, both with the Holocaust Education Resource Council, and Michelle Gale, Deputy Superintendent of Schools for Leon County. I'm Tom Flanagan with Tom About Town.